panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. Strength, my shield, to you alone does my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You are my friend, and you are my brother, even though you are my king. I want you more than any other, so much more than anything. For you alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone does my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. I want you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy. You alone are the real gold river and the apple of my eye. For you alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone does my spirit yield. Alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. Is he your friend and your brother?
Amen.
I took that song to a morning breakfast meeting that Joseph and I attend, and it was a blessing. It was a denominational church group, but very spiritual people. Good friends are becoming good friends. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days, all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days, all the days of my life. I should dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I shall feast at the table spread for me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days, all the days of my life. Sing it one more time. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days, all the days of my life. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I shall feast at the table set for me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days, all the days of my life. Let's all stand, we'll sing a song, and we're going to change over service here. Thank you for this song right here. Thank you for my walk and this message and the word being revealed to me. Amen. Because I've been to the water and I've been baptized. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I've been changed from the creature that I once was, and redeemed is now my name. I've been changed, I've been reborn. All my life has been rearranged. What a difference it makes when the Lord has His way. All my life, praise God, I've been changed. Though my sins were as scarlet, they are white as snow. I was bound, but today I am free. I was lost in the darkness, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I can see. I've been changed, I've been reborn. All my life has been rearranged. What a difference it makes when the Lord has His way. All my life, praise God, has been changed. When at last in His presence I stand above, He will wipe every tear from my eye. And I'll thank Him for giving a wretch like me a new home beyond the sky. I've been changed, I've been reborn. All my life has been rearranged. What a difference it makes when the Lord has His way. All my life, praise God, has been changed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's change over the service. Amen. Holy words long preserved for our walk in this world, they resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the word of God impart words of life, words of hope. Give us strength, help us cope in this world. Where'er we roam, the word of God will guide us home. Word of God, ever true, changing me, changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the word of God impart word of Lord,
of our faith handed down to this age. Came to us through sacrifice. Oh, heed the faithful word of Christ. Holy words long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the word of God, sing it to Him. Word of God, ever true, changing me, changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the word of God impart. God bless you. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to have a meeting in the middle of the week. And kind of rejuvenate a little bit after bumping elbows with the world. Amen. For a way of announcements, you know that this coming Sunday we're having two services. Meal will be in between, but Saturday we're having a little get-together for Deanna for her birthday will be that day also, and a graduation party, so 5 o'clock to whenever in the middle of Gillsville there, you'll see all the signs. It's not a very big city, so. But Brother Luis will be speaking for us next Wednesday, all right, and then remember coming up June 13th and 14th, our meeting with the Wilsons coming up pretty quick. Just talked to Brother Claude's wife. He's having some issues with his heart still. They went in today, and one of the blood vessels that was clogged was too small to put a stent. So they're going to have to either blow it up or do something to stretch it out. So they sent him back home. So let's just keep him in prayer because his blood pressure is really high. And he's been diabetic since he was 14, so... It's really hard on your organs when you're diabetic. He's been diabetic for that long. So just remember them in prayer. I don't know if they may be watching in tonight, but they said it was gonna. He's not having church service. He has nobody to preach for him. So but just remember him. Also remember Brother Mike Olte losing his grandson. Text back and forth with him yesterday. And, of course, he lost a brother-in-law and the grandson there in the last couple of years. So, and then Brother Mike's 84, so he's not getting any younger either. So just remember these ones that are, as we get older, things happen. And we need to pray, though, because God doesn't get older. His word never gets old. His healing power never gets old. Everything he has is fresh and new. So we need to cling to that. And if we cling to that, then we'll be okay. Amen. So let's bow our heads. Lord, thank you so much for giving us a service here in the middle of the week. We ask for your guiding hand to be upon us. Be upon the ones that are here, Father, and the ones that are watching in, Lord, the Ohio group and different ones. Father, I pray that you touch them and be with them. Bless this day, Lord. Give us our daily bread. We come today, Lord, as hungry children. Lord, looking for a meal, Father, and I pray that you would give us that meal. Lord, that you said it would be something that if we drank of you, that we'd never thirst again. Father, we see that we hunger and thirst after you, Father. Lord, to come to that day of walking in front of you, Lord, and never have to depart. We'll be together for all eternity. What a day that'll be when we see that. But Lord, we got to be here today. We got to make it through here. We've got to make it through this life. Lord, I pray that you'd help, Lord, Brother Claude and Brother Mike, Lord, precious brothers, Lord, that has befallen their bodies hurt, and also the family members, Lord, that they've lost. Father, I pray that you'd be with them. Be with the Marshall Dale family, Lord, as we laid him to rest today. Father, I pray that you would just be with the family. Keep them safe, Lord, that there'll be a void filled by you, Father, and not the world, that they'll bind closer to you, Father. And I pray that we do the same thing. Bind closer to you, Lord. Amen. We ask these blessings, Lord, on our congregation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Also, if you got your Bibles, turn to Revelation 6, verse 5, and we'll start here. Also, online, if you look on our website, we're going to kind of redo it a little bit. Brother Joe's going to be bashing it for about 2.5 weeks, so maybe me and him can get something done. Praise the Lord. But we're going to redo the website, and not the website, but just all the updates and all the things. You know, Brother Valencia is now a minister here and all the different ones. So we'll get the pictures of the deacons and all. Get them. We don't want to use them young. June's mother tickled her death. She's in her 80s, and she'd open up the pages, and she'd turn right to obituaries. And she'd look at the picture of this person, you know, and it was like their high school picture, and they died, they were like 85. She had a fit. She said, them people. Of course, she's all dolled up at 80 years old, too, but them people. So we're going to try to make it real, where we can really look like we really look, not like we did 20-something years ago when the pictures were taken. So, but we'll do that. Also on the website, you'll also see that now there is a way for you to, by PayPal or by Apple Pay or by Venmo, that you can pay whatever you want to pay tithes, offerings, gifts. If we start and decide we're going to build a church or if we're going to do something, we may do that too. But it gives us that option. And for the ones that are watching in that consider this your church, then there's you a way to come and put some money in. So I appreciate Brother Joe and Brother Luis for where's Christine? She okay? A lot of work. I know. Okay. That's okay. A lot of work. A lot of work to be done. A lot of catching up. So you had a visitor for a week. So everything's okay. But we got a place now to where you can do that if you want to, and it'll be convenient for you. So thank you, Brother Luis and Brother Joe, for doing that for us. So Revelation 6, verse 5, and when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, now listen, it wasn't one of the beasts. It was someone different. All right? It was someone different. All right? And we'll get into that Sunday really deep, but tonight we're just going to kind of go over it and then work on something tonight. All right? So Sunday we got two services. We'll dive deep into that because you keep looking, you see a measure of wheat for a penny and three measures of barley for a penny. See thou hurt not the oil and the wine. Well, it took a prophet of God to tell us that the oil was the Holy Ghost and the wine was a stimulation, that God had interjected himself into that age and into that seal and even into that age, which would be the fifth and sixth age, and says, you're not going to hurt the oil and wine. I'm going to protect a group of people and I'm going to give them revelation. All right. Matthew 24, verse 7. Now, realize that the physical seal opens when we're gone. Everybody with me? But we can see this working toward that right now. Because remember, everything just doesn't happen abruptly. Everything you see happening in the United States and Roman Catholic Church has said for years that they plan 30 years ahead. So they're 30 years ahead. Whatever plan they're planning, it's already been done. All right, so has the government. Everybody's looking for something to make sure that they're, and it's good. It makes sure that their species is protected, make sure that their property is protected, and make sure the United States makes it through. But we know there's going to happen something that's going to break it all apart, but we're not going to be here. But the workings of it is right now. All right? For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in many places. And these are the beginning of sorrows. You may be seated in the Lord as his blessing to the reading of the word. Just for a few minutes, we'll background a minute on the first and second seal because I want you to see that, like Brother Brown said, you know, the seals, these seals have got to open, and they're not for, now listen, hear me out. The seals opening is not for your salvation. Right. Everybody with me? This is something special. This is something far and beyond. This is something that's going to correct everything that's wrong and take us out of here. All right? People have been born again since the day of Pentecost, and nobody has took a rapture. Nobody has took a body change. But they have been born again. Their soul is, by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, their soul is just as eternal as God is. All right? So, but what we're looking at in the end time is there's not another church age, there's nothing to go to because the Bible ends on the seventh church age, okay? It tells you what all the horrible things that's going to happen in the church age, but they will be the greatest group of people that ever lived on the face of the earth because we're going to take a body change and a rapture, all right? The dead saints will come out of the ground in this generation, all right? So it's not another generation to come. Luther, we'll look at it in a little bit. Luther said, the just shall live by faith. That's what God said. All right, that's what I'm going to project through Luther, that you're going to finally start living by faith and not by novenas and not by the balances and paying penances for this and paying money for this. Salvation is without money or without price. All right? So he wanted us to see that because that's what the Catholic Church instilled during the Dark Ages. So to come out of that, Luther was preaching the just shall live by faith, but still had some Catholic ideas. Well, God can use Luther, which he did, bring a group of people born again under Martin Luther, but they're all dead. Every one of them. Wesley, they're all gone. If we keep going a little bit further, most of Brother Branham's original converts, they'll be all gone. All right, because he's been gone 60-something years, and we're all getting older. But there's not another generation for us to say, well, we'll throw it to this person and we'll let them handle it. No, we have to handle it. Somebody in this generation is going to take the Word of God and bring it, just like Brother Brown preached it. He said, bring it up to a point which would be restore back the faith of the fathers, restore back the gifts, restore back all the doctrines that were wrong. All right? Then he's going to bring a message. Then the Malachi 4 message will be brought out, which is the opening of the seals. The revelation of elevation. Not just a revelation that Jesus Christ died. No, there's an intimate part there that we've never known before. That he's going to take us body, spirit, and soul to get us out of here. We're going to have to, body, spirit, and soul's got to be changed. Amen. All right, so everybody with me on that. So look, now false doctrine. The first and second seal, we saw the first four ages that, if you want to pull that chart up on that one side, if you don't mind, please. The first and second seal, we saw the baby form of the Antichrist. A little saying, a little deed, now become a doctrine, then it become a pope. It becomes somebody that if you didn't agree with them, they killed you. All right? But so false doctrine kills spiritually. But as it kills spiritually, it killed naturally in that fourth age because that horse rider, the red horse rider, was the killing of the saints. All right? Physically killing them. All right? But false doctrine begins and kills you spiritually. All right? So false doctrine is spiritual poison. It starts in the very beginning of, and I don't want to be crash about it, but if you look at all these women and men that have killed their spouses, they didn't just load up the antifreeze in one meal or one drink. It was a little at a time, or a little bit of poison at a time, okay? And I know y'all don't know that, so that's a revelation to you. Yeah, right, anyway. So that's the same way God allowed the devil to do is start his poison because, listen, he knew somebody would receive it, all right, and make it the truth. So false doctrine is spiritual poison. There's four things it destroys. It destroys discernment because it took the discernment right out of the people in Nicaea. They could not discern that was evil and that was good. That which they had was good. Right? That which they had was good. But what happened, they listened to the ones that were anointed by the devil, and it took their discernment away, and they accepted that dogma. Wesley did the same thing. Luther did the same thing. It also destroys revelation because the true revelation, listen, there's only one true revelation, and it comes from God. All right, only one true revelation comes from God. Right. Remember, a revelation is something that's previously hid that light begins to shine on. All right, well now Satan doesn't want you to see if it's previously hid and God's hid it from the eyes of the wise and prudent. He doesn't want you to see it. Right. So he's going to shoot his poison or his false doctrine and make you what? It's going to destroy that. Well, that's not a revelation. Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism, that's a correct. Who wants to baptize like Peter? Peter was an old fisherman that was drunk, but he was naked, and he did all these horrible things. Why do we want to listen to him? Let's listen to Jesus. See how simple that is? So they destroyed revelation, and then it began to destroy spiritual life, just like I told y'all before. even with this great age coming up of the man age, where we have all this that you see today, come from the horse and buggy all the way to the astronaut. Well, not in 1906, but in 1906 there were cars. They began to make cars, and the Wright brothers was getting ready to to make the airplane. But see, that was all was motivated by the devil. Civilization, the way civilization is now, is all of the devil. We know Brother Bram told us that 100 times. But it took the seals opening to show us exactly what, where, when, and why that Satan was doing what he was doing. Because the whole world is deceived, spiritually deceived by the devil. God will never deceive you. He'll let you, listen, he'll let you hear, and then you make your decision off of that. All right? But he'll never, he's not a tripper-upper. Satan is a tripper-upper. God gives you the word of God, and then Satan will come in and he'll try to water it down. And if you accept it, then you've accepted false doctrine. And you've accepted that you get no more discernment, no more revelation. That's why Brother Branham, it rolls through your head, because Brother Branham preached in 1959. He preached, "Why Am I Against Organized Religion?" Well, he tells us. But then he comes to the seals and he looks in the seals, and the second seal, I think he says, he turns around and he says, "Now I know why I hate that system." Why? Because it was a demon system. Maybe before that he thought maybe God was working. He said, no, it's a demon system. Their revelation's wrong. Their discernment's wrong. And their spiritual life is wrong. God's not behind. Listen, if he says to do this, if we do something else in our life, then we're spiritually wrong. Well, that's the spirit of the devil. That's why Brother Brown, he said, that woman out there cutting grass, now this is in 1960-something, what about now? That woman out there cutting the grass with a pair of shorts on, he said, she's anointed and you can't tell her she's wrong. Right. The way he said it. Now, I'm going to bring you to the pulpit. Brother Brown said the same thing, but that woman is the top of the church. Yep. Bring it to the pulpit and get the people in the pulpit to start preaching the truth. You take, well, I'm not going to tell you. We were in Gainesville, and we were at this church that had 3,000 or 4,000 seats in it when Deanna had her graduation. I was looking around, and I thought, man, just take that microphone and preach one God and water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, and you'll be preaching to the benches. That's sad. That's sad. Because their revelation has been destroyed. That's why Brother Abraham had to restore all that. He had to show us that, yes, it may be destroyed. Yes, listen, we've all had false doctrine. We've all had false ideas. Okay? To stay in them is spiritual destruction. But to get out of them, see, that's the come out of her, my people. See, listen, when these seals started breaking, and I started preaching them again for the second or third time, and then Dad's preached them, it just broke something in me I'm more intimate with that than I was before, because let me be real honest with you. The seals were not given just to give us knowledge. It was not given to just give us knowledge to we know more than another guy does. No, it was a personal something to his bride, and no one else. No one else. No one will receive this like you and I will. And I believe the Lord has done that to get a people ready. Because if all this discernment, revelation, spiritual life, and intimacy with God in the spiritual realm of false doctrine, if that's eroded or done away with, God's got to have a group of people that turns that thing around. That we don't listen to false doctrine. We don't live by the world standards. We don't discern. Listen, you have to have discernment. I know that. And you discern right and wrong every service. But could you imagine living in a system that was all wrong? And you come in every service and agreed with it? I'm trying to get you to see that this thing is in your living room. It's in your bedroom. It's the intimate part that we're trying to see, that if we don't have God in our life, we are going to be destroyed by false doctrine. Everybody with me? So the seals was not given merely for knowledge. It was not just to say, I know something better than you know. And Brother Branham never in the whole service, he never said, well, boy, now I'm higher than anybody else. You got to come listen to me. You know what he said? He said, thousands of people will leave me. And then he came over and he preached marriage and divorce off of the seals. And he said, thousands of people are going to leave me. At one time, he said, open the door to the office. He said, we're going to have letters. Boy, if he had email, it would have been ripped up by then. He'd have got a bigger computer, because it would have been all over the country. What do you mean, White Horse Rider's Antichrist? What do you mean this system is? What do you mean we're living under this kind of a system? Amen? So you and I, praise God, that we are not under false doctrine, so we're not poisoned by false doctrine. And that's what Brother Branham come to tell us, is that his message, now look, not his message lived. His message, and it's not his message. It's God's message. He was a mouthpiece of God, absolutely. No greater man since on earth except Jesus Christ. No man. There's no messenger ever, no man ever born of a woman that was greater than William Branham except Jesus Christ. I just believe that was wholesome, had everything together, knew what he was talking about, had the signs and wonders behind it, and spoke such eloquent words by a seventh grade education person that sometimes you couldn't retain. They were talking the other day, they were having trouble a long time ago interpreting Brother Branham's messages because he was speaking in haints and totes, and like he said before, you know, he's not very eloquent in his speech. But we got the essence of that. You and I don't have to listen to an eloquent speech or a speech that's from the hills of Kentucky. We have to get the essence of what that is. We have to get what the Spirit says to the church, not what the man says to the church. All right, is everybody with me? I want to raise us up to a little bit higher plane today. Because watch this. If false doctrine destroys discernment, destroys revelation, destroys your spiritual life, destroys your intimacy with God, then there's got to be a word and power that reverses that. If not, then we just need to do like the Bible says, eat, drink, and, you know, marry and do all that, for tomorrow we die. But we're not. We're a group of powerful people. You have it inside of you today. We just got to start using it, all right? Because the word and power, the word becomes clearer, not cloudier. The word becomes, the deception becomes exposed. We see that. The bride gains spiritual authority, adoption, all right? And then the revealed word defeats the enemy every time, all right? So everybody with me on that. So you got your contrast between false doctrine and the truth. All right, and you and I believe we're sitting under the truth. We're hearing the truth. I mean, I'm talking about hearing the truth from here that way, not just from there that way. All right? So remember, we are at a place to where you and I have got to really dig in our spiritual life and bring that thing to the forefront. Okay? Bring it to the forefront. Because remember, the seals were given not for knowledge, but to prepare a people for a body change. One thing. A body change. One thing. One thing only. But what does it do? It gets us in line, as Brother Ram saw I would just marvel to watch that vision that he had, not the one of the ugly girls, but the pretty girls, all the different nations walking in step, and the two in the very back, which would be the last church age, us. kind of got out of step, and he said, scream, get back in line. Well, that's what he was preaching, to get back in line. What the seals do, it lines us up. It lines us up with something that has never been before, and that means that we're going to take a body change. All right? So we've got to navigate through this to not just see, listen, you can get born again and never listen to the seals, because Luther never said anything about them. Wesley never preached it. Paul never preached the seals. He preached things about the seals. But it took a prophet to bring it together out of the Word of God to make that Word live, and it had to, listen to this, it had to channel itself into the seals. Are you with me? It's always been here. The Word's always been here, but there's a shift that's got to channel that Word into the opening of the seals to really show us how redemption works. I have seen now more how redemption works, and I have actually also seen how that I've got a lot of iniquity that I got to get rid of. But you know what that does? That brings it to the forefront. It doesn't bury it. It brings it to the forefront. And when it brings it to the forefront, God can do something about it. I've been reading that book, almost finished with it. I'm going to go back and read it again, that Praying Life. Good book. If you don't have it, you need to get it and read it. God had that man write that book. That wasn't just a man's thoughts, because he used his very family to weave into the whole part of that Praying Life. From his autism, the baby that was born with autism, all the way up to his older children, and even his wife. And he weaves all that in, and really, like I said before, makes me ashamed of my prayer life. Amen. And sometimes we think that we have to get, I'm preaching to all of us tonight. Sometimes we have to get in the right position. I'm not talking about the right, you know, but we got to get, let me just for an example. You know, you've been busting it all day, and you know, the wheels have fell off your car, and you know, your computer crashed and all that. Well, see, that's what that brother used to make him pray. God uses those things in our life to make us pray. All right? And what do we do, though? God, save me from this. No, that's not what he said. He said, God, show me what's the end of this. Show me what I'm going through is going to help me, because I am a child of yours. I am asking for bread, and you're not going to give me stones. I'm asking for meat, and you're not going to give me a scorpion. You're going to be a wonderful father. I was reading today, he said, bring God to task. God, you said it. God, you promised it. Now, I'm going to stay right here until we get it. You promised it. So listen, so you're bringing God to task, and he was weaving it where, you'll read it, it's in like the 11th or 12th chapter. It's called lament, or lamentations. But in lamenting, I'm going to get off on this for a second, but it works in with the seals. If we're lamenting, we're saying, God do this, God do this, God do this. God. But you know what you're doing? You're telling him what his word says. You're not going like me and I would go when I run. Now, you shouldn't be. That's not what. We don't need to tell God that. He knows the only way to do it. But we bring him to task. And even with the opening of the seals, you say, God, I never heard this before. I am just new, or this is something I've never heard, or this is something that I've never been through before. But say, God, you promised. You promised you would bring all things to my remembrance, whatsoever I had heard, and that you'll show me things to come. He did not put a time limit on that. He did not put I've been in the message 50 years for it. God is not, he does not care about your seniority. He cares about your heart. He cares about your genuine right here, not your diploma. I've been in the message 50 years. Can't tell me nothing. That's the worst in the world. That's the devil you're holding in your hand. Amen? We all need to be ever learning about God. Brother Dale told us, remember one time, he said, when you're truly satisfied, he said, they're looking at you in the casket going, doesn't they look good?
Yeah, right.
When you stop learning, if you think you know everything, that's the time when you know everything. It's when God takes you out of here and puts you over into another dimension. Then you've known everything you need to know. So until then, though, as long as you're sucking air, we're learning. Now, I know there's a scripture that says ever learning, but it says never coming to the knowledge of the truth. But if we come to the knowledge of the truth, we come to the knowledge of the truth and know how to approach God, then he will be able to help us and we can take him to task. And I'm going to start doing that more. Say, God, you said I could have my children. God, you said I could have my healing. God, you said I could have this. You just tell him that.
Right.
He doesn't like wimpy Christians.
Right.
He likes somebody. What did he say? Come boldly to the throne of grace.
Right.
Come and stand and say, God, I am here.
Right.
I have nothing else left.
Right.
I'm right here today.
Yes.
I've read your word. I believe your word. I believe the prophet of the hour. I hear him. I hear the ministers preach, but I want to talk to you.
Amen.
I want to talk to you. That makes you feel better. It's changed my prayers a lot more. Because my prayer now is I'm talking to somebody. You should know that you're talking to somebody. Listening to what you have to say. But take him to task. Read Lamentations. Read the different things. And if you'll read Lamentations in the Bible, it'll tell you that the writer was taking God to task. He was lamenting, though. He was saying, oh, God, this and that. But what he was doing was he's taking God to task. He said, look, you said this. Because, see, over here in the scripture, God said, if you will do so and so and so and so, this is the Old Testament, he said, I'll never leave you. But remember, they didn't do it. But, see, you and I as Christians, we got to take the same thing. And don't give him a book of rules. He knows the rules. That's what I said. Now, God, today I hadn't had no bad thought. God, today I didn't cut nobody off in traffic. They don't touch nobody here. So, you know, God, I didn't do this. Quit telling him what you didn't do. Tell him what you did do and do something about it. Not be so perfect. And not be so whitewashed. Brother Brown said a birth was messy. So we're born again every day. Being born again. So it's a mess every day of your life. It gets messy. But you know what? The baby has to get here that way and no other way. All right, so everybody with me. So the opening of the seals, what does it do? The opening of the seals, it reveals Christ. It reveals where he's at, what he's doing, and he reveals who he's in. All right, everybody with me. Now watch. Now God wants us to see where he is, but he has to expose the devil to show you that. Think about it. Okay, if those, and we're not going to read it tonight, but I got it in my notes where I told you the other week that Brother Brown said that those two, the tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life, were intertwined. So when you look at them, it looks like one great big tree until you get the fruit bearing off of it. So now this is what it is, and I'll read the quote. I got it out of Laodicean Church Age. Brother Brown comes all the way over to Laodicean Church Age. He said, now we're going to separate those two trees. Because they have been intertwined from all the way from the beginning to right now.
That's right.
Folks, that's what the seals do. It exposes every branch on that tree of life. But it also exposes every branch on the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Amen. It discerns. Why does it discern? It discerns because of the fruit that it bears. So we're harvest time. We're fruit bearing time. All of us are wheat. All of us are corn. All of us are apples, oranges, whatever the fruit is. We are the fruit that God is bringing today to fruition. Because listen, You can't eat anything until it becomes mature. Amen? Try to eat an apple when it's about that big around. Can't do it. Try to eat a piece of corn before it gets real full. Most horrible tasting thing in the world. Persimmons, apples, oranges, anything that's immature is horrible to eat. But just wait now, today, this is ripening time. Today it's time for us to see what those seals will do. Those seals is going to be the rising of the S-O-N, S-U-N too, but the S-O-N to what make the fruit ripen, as the prophet says, in the top of the tree. That's where it ripens first, top of the tree down. Why? Because they get more sunlight up in the top of the tree. Well, you and I are in that position. We're in the top of the tree. All right? So this is the time the opening of the seals pulls those two trees apart. It exposes and pulls them apart, and it tells you what the tree of life is and what the tree of knowledge of good and evil is. All right, is everybody with me? Trying to make something here. Now look. Now watch. Let's get into this for a minute. So the first and second seal, what did they do? First and second seal, we had all of our symbols. We had all the horses, and we had all the powers, and we had the bows, and we had the no arrows, and we had the crown, and we had all these things. More or less crowns, swords, and different things like that. But it was all the devil, all right? But remember, this is quite depressing sometimes, that during those ages, up until today, in those ages, they couldn't tell the difference in those two trees. Yeah, right. They accepted false doctrine for truth. And God winked at it because he had to have a group of people in the end time that was in the top of the tree, that was in the last stages of growth so that he could harvest. Right now, it's almost June. Corn gets ripe about July if you plant it right, right around the 4th of July. It matures. If you go out and harvest it all today, you're not going to have anything to sell. So God's not going to do that. He's not going to harvest immature. He's going to harvest mature corn. He's going to harvest mature wheat. And that's what you and I are. Everybody with me? So to separate those two trees, you have to know what false doctrine is and what the real doctrine is. All right? So when we look at these seals, that's what I want you to see, that false doctrine is everywhere. But truth is not everywhere. Truth is in a group of people called a bride that has the new birth. Because if you don't have the new birth in your soul, you will be deceived by the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Right. Foolish virgins are deceived by the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Right. Because the tree of life is Jesus Christ and the very life of Jesus Christ. Well, what's a born-again believer? The true born-again believer, you have that life of that tree inside of you.
Right.
And it bears much fruit, as the scripture says. Everybody with me? All right. So the first and second seal, we saw that God was bringing his message up, but Satan was bringing his message up. Then we come to that middle age, the fourth age, where pretty much the bride got eradicated because the corn of wheat had to fall in the ground and die a bottle. If it abideth alone, he said, it brings no fruit. But what it's going to do is it's going to come out in a powerful age. You say, well, it don't look very powerful. Well, when Luther came out and protested the Catholic Church, that was revolutionary. Nobody else had done it. There wasn't message churches all over the country. There were Catholic churches all over the country. And one man comes out of that system and puts his 95 thesis on the wall, and he says, I don't agree with that no more. Now, when false doctrine is presented to me and you, we must have that same spirit of Luther.
Right. Right.
I don't believe that no more.
Right.
Have you ever wrote your 95 thesis on the wall? Satan, you're not allowed here. Satan, you can't do this. You can't have my children. You can't have my job. You can't have this. Write them down. Put them on a wall somewhere.
Right.
It's kind of funny how Paul Miller, the one that wrote the book, he said, I have a prayer card. He said, I write down my prayers. And he said, when they're taken care of, he said, I mark them off. You said, that's kind of silly. No, well, it worked for him. I mean, sometimes we just willy-nilly and don't even remember what we asked for the 2 days before. But if you'll write it down on a piece of paper, you'll remember it. I'm just telling you, our prayer life's where we need to start. And then the revelation will come. Okay? Because that's one conduit that we know if we approach God the right way, he'll give us what we said, what we asked for. If we approach him the right way, he'll give us the creator of heaven. Not the devil. The devil's not going to give you anything good. But the Lord will give you good if you will come to him with a what? The Bible says with a contrite heart and just be humble. Right. All right? And that's what, to me, the seals did. The seals actually humbled William Branham. Right. How can a man, a seventh grade education man, like he said, this should be in the Vatican. This should have been revealed to bishops and the great men of the world. Why? Lord, no, it wasn't. You look where we're at today. You look at the churches that are 10,000, 12,000 people. Why? They listen to false doctrine, so they're spiritually dead. And they can go live any way they want to and come back to church. Live any way they want to and come back to church. Used to that was the Catholics. Now it's everybody else. It's spread all the way down. Even sometimes it creeps in the message church. Well, praise the Lord anyway. Everybody with me? So God is working on one group of people to get us to a place to where he's going to use us just for one quick, powerful moment. He's going to take a bride and he's going to elevate her to the position that she's supposed to be in.
Amen. That's right.
But without the opening of the seals, that ain't going to happen. That's how important the seals are. All right? So we can continue on just for a minute. Because what killed those people in those first four ages was doctrine, false doctrine. They were given this sword to kill one another. Now, that was in your second seal. But he started with a demon of a false teaching, and that teaching became a doctrine, incarnate in a false prophet. Then he went just right to the place. Where'd he go? He went to Rome. Went to Nicaea. He saw an opening there. So he could get off his white horse and get on the red horse because he saw the power of the people was shifting to his doctrine. Listen to me. Satan's slick. If he can't get you right here one way, he'll go around and try to get you in another way. Well, he didn't have to deceive him with a bow anymore. He didn't have to put himself on a white horse. He already had that group. But coming out of that group, there was a group of people that he put into their doctrine to kill. Spiritually and then naturally to kill 68 million people during that time. Amen? And this is what we've been talking about. I kind of got ahead of myself a little bit. But the seals opening does not tell us how to live a good Christian life. Oh, yes, there are parts in it that you need, but listen, let me try to explain this. I've been born again now for 20-something years, okay? So why do I need the first seal to open to me to show me that the iniquity was in me? That's what the seals are for. It's not to show you how to live a good Christian life. It's to elevate the Christian life you're already living. Give me one more time. Christianity. All right? The opening of the word, the revelation of the seals, takes and elevates you to a different position in God. The position that God wanted, Adam and Eve to be in had there not been a fall. I said Adam and Eve because it's the husband and wife. It's the bride and Christ. So he's bringing us back, not telling us how to live, but telling us how to overcome and tie it with the virtues. Faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience. Listen, those are not, anything in there is not of the devil. It's all of God. It's the stature of a perfect man, the man Christ Jesus. So if we, that's why it's so important that we see that, and watch me real quick, because you got the church ages over here, all right? Obviously right there. All right, you got the church ages. You've got Christianity. I'm talking about bride. Okay? So why did it take somebody like Brother Branham to bring this to us when this was already told to the group of people in the first church age? I'm going somewhere with this. Peter spoke those same words right over here. But what did Satan do? He eroded it. He covered it up. He said, you don't need that. You don't need any revelation on that. I got my own idea. But when you come to the seventh church age, then you got a prophet that brings these virtues and said they're required. Amen. They're not just important, they're required for a human that is the bride to live these virtues, and you can only live them by the opening of the Word. You cannot live them any other way. You have to live them by the Word of God because your first nature is contrary to every one of them. Amen? Luther, the just shall live by, right? Now, listen, he didn't have a lot of virtue or knowledge because he still drank a beer. Of course, he was German. He drank a beer, smoked a pipe, thought some of the Catholic doctrines were okay, but God wasn't, he wasn't requiring him anything else but focus on, you've got to live by the faith that I've already got in this Bible. You've got in this Bible right here. The faith of Jesus Christ. All right? So he didn't need that. I'm sure he had some of them. I'm sure he had a little godliness and a little this. But I'm talking about that's a full stature that we have to come to. Because if we don't come to that full stature, the head's not going to be exposed on the top of the pyramid, and that's Christ exposed in our life. Everybody with me? Because remember, Sister Shepherd's dream was that was the mountain. The prophet or the man with the work clothes on was dipping water into a bucket on top, and trash was running down the side. Well, why would you have trash running down the side if you were already born again? It's some of the trash that we got, like my iniquity, my stubbornness. And I'm sure y'all can fill in a lot more of mine, so that's okay. Well, praise the Lord. Anyway, thanks you. Thank you, Louise. Appreciate that. So now watch. And you're going to have to dig deep on this one. When you get born again, in your first process of getting born again, you have to go through what? Justification. You have to go through sanctification to get the Holy Ghost. I read you the quotes where Brother Ram said, he said, God has to give you a new spirit. That wasn't his spirit. That's your spirit. Then I will put my spirit in you. I'll give you a new spirit. Then I'll put my spirit in you. And many times you get the new spirit and think you've got the Holy Spirit. This church will never stand, have to stand in any kind of judgment and say, I didn't know how to get born again. This message from 55 years, from Brother Moat to Brother Dale to myself, you have got to go through those three stages to get born again. Amen. To get the new birth, you have got to be justified. You have got to believe that God forgave you. You got to have faith. But this is baby I'm talking about. This is your first journey. See, in the seals, we're not talking about your first journey. We're talking about your second journey through sanctification, your second journey through justification. Everybody with me? Why do we need to be sanctified again, Brother Wade? Well, look, let's look at a higher part of this. Now, look, he said, I'll put my spirit in you. Now, when God puts his spirit in you, that's the new birth. Is that right? So he's quit working with you at all. None at all. You're done. You're finished. No, that baby's got to eat. That baby that's just been born, how many times have we said that baby's got to eat? That baby's got to grow. Well, the growth development then is what? This. Then when you grow from this, you see that the seals burst you still up here. Because the seals are the headstone to the church, not the body. I know that's maybe tough for some that's new here, but just hang on. You'll get it. So many times you get the new spirit and you think you got the Holy Spirit, trusting upon emotions and signs and things. When your life doesn't pivot up to that. Now that's just a little raw, but remember, it's the truth. Many people, that spirit, that new spirit, God had to give you a new spirit to get along with his spirit. Right. See, that's that unclean spirit that was driven out right. In Luke, where it says unclean spirit goes out of a man, walks in dry places, seeks rest, findeth none. Right. Okay? That's out of your soul. That's out of your soul. But now we're talking about, look, that that house has been sealed by the Holy Ghost. If you're born again, that house has been sealed. Right? Right? So we don't have to sanctify that inside man again. Nope. Right. That's right. Amen. It's the next realm. Right. It's the next move. Yes. It's the next. The door's already closed. Satan can't get back in your soul. So why do we have to have a daily sanctification? Why do we have to come and listen to the Word of God? Why do we have to have I die daily and all those different things that Paul said? Because we got a realm that God's working through, and Satan is also working through that same realm. Right, yeah. Memory, reasoning, conscious affection, imagination. That's right. Right. Okay? That's Satan's playground, but that's where God takes his spirit and pushes his spirit up through yours, if you'll allow it. Right in here is where you get a lot of your, you allow that to happen. Yep. Yeah. That's right. Okay? Because if your soul is, listen, it's hard to believe. See what I mean? You got to get back to faith. It's hard to believe that your soul right today, your soul, if you're born again today, it is not a part of this dimension. Right. It is not a part of this realm. Amen. That's right. Amen. It's eternal God. Amen. But we're all looking old. We're all hurting. We're all dying. We got to go to work tomorrow. We got to do this and that and the other. Brother Wade, what do you mean? You got to have faith that that thing on the inside is going to continue to grow. Why, how does it grow? It grows by the Word of God. Amen. It grows by the truth. Amen. Not just a doctrine. Because look, God had to give you a new spirit to get along with his spirit. Now, that's in the inside realm. Let's just say that's been taken care of. Let's say God's put the Holy Spirit inside of you, and there you are. You got the Holy Ghost. Now, does that solve all your problems? I wished it did. But remember, it's a journey with a testimony. But you got to have a test before you have a testimony. All right? So you're sealed in. You cannot lose your salvation. But you can lose gifts. Okay? You can lose position that you should have had. You'll never lose the position of bride. You'll never lose the position of being bride. You're going to heaven. You're sealed in. Satan's sealed out. But you're still sitting here today with problems and issues and things that we got to work on. All right? So that's why God sent us a prophet to tell us that even though we think we got the Holy Spirit, are we trusting on emotions and signs and things? Because remember, one of the greatest mysteries is to receive the new birth without a sensation. Right. Mary had to wait 9 months. Now, your sisters know what I'm talking about. You know, if you have relations with a man, and you may think, you know, but she knew nobody. She said, be it unto me according to thy word. And if she hadn't had her cycle, she had to wait 28 days to hold on to that to figure out that she was pregnant. So what am I telling you? I'm telling you that when God comes to you and tells you something, you may have to wait 28 days. You may have to wait 28 years. Abraham had to wait 25 just to see one promise, not a bunch, one. One promise, 25 years he waited. Sometimes we get impatient in service, sometimes. But let's take this and look at this new spirit. God had to give you a new spirit to get along with his spirit. Some people are so mean they can't get along with themselves. Well, praise the Lord. Anyway, that he was talking to people back in 1956. Them people ain't even around no more. But the devil is. I wish sometimes the devil would get buried out in the graveyard, but no. So doubtful. You're up and down. God has to give you a new spirit, give you a new nature so you can get along with his spirit when it comes. That's why sanctification is a hard place to be. Because Satan's still pulling on you. Because remember now, during that part of sanctification, we hadn't even gotten to the part I was talking about. The part of sanctification that I'm talking about at the new birth, there's nothing in here yet. Okay? He's trying to clean you up by cleaned and set aside for service. He's trying to get your soul where he can get inside of you. Now, we're talking later on where the ceiling, and then he's trying to get into your spirit realm to take over your spirit with his spirit. There's no other way. I like what Brother Richard Wilson said the other day. He said, there's no way for us to know how to get rid of those things without this message. You look at the world, and good Christian people, but somewhere they're off. They can't quit smoking, can't quit drinking. They do the best they can over here. Why? Because they're trying to appease a spirit that they like. Okay? But if they had the Holy Ghost in their soul, that soul inside of them is saying, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. That's wrong. That's why, listen, I'm going to tell you one more time. We got to have live preaching. You're not going to get out of here, press and play. Right. Press, play, and obey. Jeez, come on. Y'all press my button enough. Forget the obeying part. I'm just kidding. But you see how far away from God that is? That's not even scriptural. It's not even scriptural. Let's stay in the Bible. Brother Brown stayed in the Bible. I mean, they're even having, they're having funerals and stuff, and they're transposing his voice to do the funeral because they don't believe in no preachers. Same way with marriage. I mean, that's horrible. But remember, God has to give you a new spirit, give you a new nature so you can get along with his spirit when it comes. I hope you see that. God gives you a new spirit for yourself, then puts his Holy Spirit in there to dwell with you and abide with you. All right, now, what's going to happen? Well, I already read that. What's going to happen is then you got a group of people that's born again. Luther's age, they were born again. And they listened to sermons. And no doubt, they did things wrong. Because here comes another man called Wesley. And the Holy Spirit says, I've got Luther here, but I want plus. God wants to move forward. Every time he brings a message, he don't want it to go backwards. He wants it to go forward. And listen, I didn't say he won't. It will. It will not go backwards. It will go forward. So when Wesley comes along, God gives him a deeper revelation of living a sanctified life. Cleaned and set aside for service. But see, that was his new birth for the time. He was sealed in. That's all he knew. He didn't know any different. He still baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He still did had some of the Catholic ideas. But see, God's got to work the way he works to get to you and I. His whole theme is us today. His whole theme from the foundation, when he said, let us make man in our own image, this is the man he wanted. You say, ah, no, let's don't start looking at others. Let's start looking at ourselves. Let's don't start looking at others. Well, Brother Donnie will get it. No, he's got to get his own. You got to get your own. We have been taught that we will not be saved as a group. Israel will because God promised it in his word. But you and I will not. We're individuals. We come one at a time. Okay? So now let's continue on a little bit further. And then here we're talking, Brother Brown's talking about the church coming together. They're so rooted together that you can't tell the difference in the fourth church age. But what happens in the fifth church age, you've got God opening a little more light to Luther. And listen, Luther got a revelation besides the just shall live by faith, okay? He didn't just preach like Noah. Noah didn't preach 120 years. Well, I know what Noah's going to say. He said it 100 years ago. It's going to rain. No, Luther taught. Luther was a good orator. Luther brought a lot of people in the body of Christ. But God couldn't work under that false doctrine that he had. All right? As we were talking about the two trees, religious and spiritual world are made up of those two trees, which had their roots in Eden. Both the tree of life and knowledge of good and evil stood in the midst of the garden, and no doubt their very branches intertwined each other. Now, I took it out because right here I had the quote where Brother Brown says in the Laodicean church age that they're going to start pulling them apart. Why? There had a prophet, had to be a prophet come on the scene. There had to be a prophet come on the scene to discern. Let me just put it this way. He discerned for us to a degree. Okay? He had to get it first. He was the first fruit. God had to give it to him before he could give it to us. Right. Listen, you can't preach what you don't know. Brother Bram said, all we're doing is presuming if God don't open these seals. Right. And he did open them, so we're not presuming anymore. But still, when they open, people's got doctrines of this and that and the other and all a bunch of garbage, but there is a truth somewhere. All right? We talked about that the other day. We'll continue just a little bit further. And let's look at these symbols just for a second. But I want you to see that what God's doing, he's formulating a bride that he can give her the fullness of the word. Couldn't do it back then. He was molding. He was getting it ready. Because remember, Luther didn't deny the word of God. He just couldn't take all the word of God. Wesley took a little more. Pentecost took a little more. And then we had a prophet come in the end time that brought the full word in to voice. We hear it. It's not being orated by someone else, and it's like passed down through generations like the Indians did and the different ones. They told the stories, and the stories went to this and went to that. Well, sometimes in that interpretation, you've played the game before, right, where you whisper in one person's ear a quote, and it goes all the way around the room, and by the time it gets over here, if you started over here that God was Christ, he'd be the Antichrist over here because of the interpretation of the people and what they heard. If you've never played that game, you ought to play it sometime. Don't get mad at each other. So it took God to bring us a message by a prophet. Luther had a sliver of light. But you know, even that sliver of light that Luther brought was God. Amen. It started you know, we could turn this light out in here, it'd be pitch dark. But if you could just, a little pin light, the darkness would have to move back. And that's what happened. When Luther came on the scene, a little bit of candlelight came on. A little bit of light that you could maybe read a little bit by, but you didn't get the fullness of God. Wesley was a little bit bigger light, but you couldn't get the fullness of God. Pentecost come back with the gifts. They had a little bit, but they didn't have it all. God moved on to the message of the hour. And now what we have, we've got the full everything. If you don't believe that, then, you know, you need to find it for us and we'll go follow it. Because to me, now look, I can't orate it. I can't understand it all. But somewhere in this message is woven the revelation for us to get out of here. It's in here. Now, we can use other books like Paul Miller and different ones and Clarence Larkin, different ones, or Spurgeon and all those, Dwight Moody. But you come back to right here. This is the center that God wants us to be in. Okay? If I had a choice to read the message of the hour or read Paul Miller's book, I'd read the message of the hour. But since we do have a thing called the internet and a thing called a phone and all these different things, we can access that information. Listen, Brother Branham read a lot of books. And he had to read. There was no audio. There was no internet. He had to go to the library and find it. How many have ever been to a library before? Well, praise the Lord, a bunch of old people. We used to have to go, and it was career day. Now, I graduated in 1978. That was before dirt. But I had to actually go and spend hours in the library. Number one, finding the book. Number two, reading the book. Number three, making my book report off of that book. And I want to tell you something. You see that right there? Can't read a thing, can you? Neither can I. And I wrote it. Brother Joe Canada took a picture of that. Just a picture. Went to AI, and it formulated an outline. The truth. And gave some pretty pictures to go with it. Just off of that. Scribbling. Stuff I'd wrote down. He took a picture of it and the whatever in the internet formulated every bit of that into an outline with bullet points and everything. I could have told Joe, I said, we can't, don't even have to preach anymore. See, that's what Satan wants to do. Sure, I'm going to use those notes, but that's not going to be the notes that I'm going to. I wrote these notes first. I knew what I was going to say first. This kind of just helped me keep it. If you'll see the little bullet points I had on there, kind of keep me in line. But you see how now that there's no excuse for us not to have all the information we need in an instant to look up quotes, to look up scripture, but you still need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. If you don't, you will absolutely do not ever depend on AI or the internet for your salvation or for your spiritual growth. Don't. Don't get caught. Okay? Don't get caught up and just say, well, man, I'm going to scribble stuff down and I'll get it, because that don't have the Holy Ghost. No, exactly. Because what it does, it formulates by the words that you have on here. The words that are on here, it formulates. It takes key words and formulates key words, because the same spirit that killed 68 million in the dark ages will kill 144,000. I wrote that the other day. Listen to what it says right here. So much stuff. But anyway, it basically said the same thing. Exact same thing. The same spirits here that killed 68 million in the dark ages killed 144,000 over there in the Jews. But let's don't depend on that. What am I telling you? Listen to the Holy Ghost. But you can't listen, you can't know who he is until you study him. You can't know who he is until you study. You can't know anything unless you study. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved. A workman needeth not be ashamed. Rightly dividing, not AI, but rightly dividing the word of truth. That's why we have to hear the message from a person that has some life in him, that has some passion in it, that has a way to enter into a place to where God can use you and you're out of the way. You're out of the picture. Right. That's why that when we pray before we come out here, I do, but we pray with the, we were talking about the other day, you know, we pray with the song leaders. Well, that's my prayer. My prayer is for Brother Boyd not to lead singing. I want God to be the one to lead singing. I don't want to come out here and preach to you. I want God to preach to you. Because, see, I was going a whole different way, different. I would have been finished tonight, but I didn't even get started. But we needed it. Now, how can you make a tape recorder do that? How can you make AI do that? No, AI don't shift. AI don't move as the Spirit moves. It just gives you information, which is not bad to use. I'm telling you, you see me, I use some of it. I'm not hiding it. But to take something that I wrote that scribbled up, and you couldn't, if you read that, you wouldn't know nothing what was going on. But that took certain words and it formulated. My whole point is, that's what Satan did. He took the ministry in the first age, second age, third age. He took the ministry and he took what they wrote down and formulated his doctrine off of it. Listen, you can't know about error if you've never heard truth. Remember, Brother Brown said, you know, if you're going to see, you got to have a hand before there's a shadow of the hand. So we've got to have the truth before there's any shadow of the truth or shadow of doubt. We must have the truth. So you've got to really go home and you've got to really say, God, I want my life to be ramped up just a little bit more. I don't want just to have the sanctification where you clean all up and you give me a new spirit. I want that in my spirit realm. Because truly, watch. Musicians, come on. We'll start Sunday. We got two services Sunday. I mean, what are we looking at? We're looking for truth. Okay? We found it. All right? So we found truth. What are we going to do with it? Everybody with me? What are we going to do with the truth that we've been given? We can either turn it into, the Bible says, you can turn it into lasciviousness, or we can grow by it. That's your choice. You have a choice. So God, now I want you to take, and you've given me now your spirit, if you're born again. You've given me your spirit. I have eternal life in my soul. Can't be any error in that. So where's error come from? Where does my iniquity come from? Where does my false whatever come from? It comes from my spirit realm. Now that we know that, now that we know that it's in our spirit realm, then we have to pray then from our soul, which there's no emotion. Faith or doubt? Listen to the prophet. Faith or doubt is the only one in your soul, one or the other, not both. There ain't two of you in there at the same time. God's not going to dwell in an unclean vessel. But when you ask him to clean you up and the unclean spirit's driven out and he seals you by the Holy Ghost, that part inside of you is eternal, never sinned, never will sin, never had a bad thought, never preached false doctrine. So where's all this coming from? It's coming from our spirit realm. The greatest battle ever fought. Where is your memory? Where's your reasoning? Where's your consciousness of what's going on? Where's your affection? Oh, my affection is love. It comes from here. And definitely your imagination comes from your brain. I had a, let's stand our feet. I had a dream the other night. I got up in the morning. I was so confused. I didn't know what in the world was going on. It was so real, though. It was so real. I had a dream one time that was, I was in a convenience store, and I came out of the convenience store, and a guy was robbing the convenience store, and he had a gun to my head. And what happened was the SWAT team didn't kill him, the SWAT team shot me. And I felt the bullet, and I woke up, and my head hurt. I felt the energy. Maybe I looked over to see if June had a hammer in her hand or something, but She wasn't a part of that one, but it was so real. Well, that's the consciousness that you have to deal with, and that's the devil's playing ground. And that's where God deals too. That's where God's dealing now with the seals. He's trying to clean us up in that middle realm. Don't worry about your flesh. Your flesh never sinned. Don't blame it on your flesh. No, you blame it on your spirit. This just did what I did because of what I told it to do. Right? The devil made me do it. Well, remember Brother Dale always said, he said, sometimes we give the devil too much credit. Most of the time, we do it. Right? But just think on these things. If we went through justification, sanctification, and received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we've got to do, as we said many weeks before, we got to come right back out here, and we got to be justified in our spirit realm. Okay? And then sanctified in our spirit realm. Everybody with me? And then receive that Holy Ghost, not the new birth. New birth's a one-time thing. But there's many fillings of the Holy Ghost. Am I okay? Everybody with me? That's what that is. Each one of those is a refilling or a filling of the Holy Ghost. You got all these when you got born again, but you just don't know how to use them yet. You don't know how to use them yet. Because the Bible, that's why the Bible says, exercise your faith. Exercise your faith. And how do you exercise? Don't go to the gym. It might be okay. Bible does say it profiteth a little. But the greatest thing you can do is open a book. Listen to a tape. Press play. Read a book. Read the Bible. That's where your strength comes from. So as we continue on, when we get into, because I'm setting you up for something. Because when we get to this third seal, remember the fourth seal is the rapture seal. We take a rapture on the fourth seal. Okay? You say, what about 5, 6, and 7? Don't worry. Because what's got to happen in 5, 6, and 7 is a higher form of what you've already been through. That's going to change your body. Everybody with me? What is the fifth seal? A group of people were given eternal life that didn't even want it. Okay? They were justified just by who they were. Sixth seal, sanctification again, because it's a cleaning of the whole earth. It's a destruction of nature, Brother Brown said, of the nature of the world. Well, guess what? It's a destruction of your old nature, too. Then the seventh seal is him in you. The hope of glory. We'll get into it later. But God bless you. Let's sing a song. Sorry, I was going to make this short, but I apologize.
We'll start Monday. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. The treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home.
On our prayer life. Focus on our studying. Focus on the things that God has given through the seals. Because the book's open. Why did he break the seal so we could see what was inside of it?
I fixed it up with Jesus
so many years ago. I know he'll see me through. Though I am weak and poor. And I can't feel at home. There. But you us there.
Or shout in victory.
The songs of sweetest praise drift back from heaven's shore. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. You know where he's building? He's building it inside of you. Your glorified body's being built today around what you're hearing and what you're doing about it. It's not coming from somewhere. Yeah, we know the new city and all that. Okay. But Brother Branham said he built it by your desires. See, the future home is going to be different from the millennium. In the millennium, it says they'll build houses and inhabit them. There's no building this future home with hammer and nails. It's built by your desire. You'll have a street that's different from the other brother's street. Why? Because that's your desire. But it'll be a perfect desire. It'll be the desire that God had for you before the foundation of the world. You've just come here and manifested it on earth. Amen? Take these things with you. I want you to really realize that I was thinking today, there's a lot of miles been put on cars. There's a lot of ministers that have gone on to be with the Lord. There's a lot of things that's been said. And there's a lot of tapes and a lot of, we have DVDs back from the 80s or 90s. And we've got all of our archive sermons and it's just this church. All other churches have it too. But there's one thing that's got to come. There's got to be a group of people that believes what's being preached. It's got to believe and have that kind of faith, not just say, well, I believe it because Donnie believes it. I believe it because Brother Boyd believes it. No, you got to believe it because you believe it. But check your prayer life. Check your studying. Check the things that you're doing. Give God another 30 minutes a day. Give him another hour a day. I know we spend an hour on our phones not doing anything, but, I'm on eBay and Amazon and all that, so... Isn't that right, Sister Jim? She knows that for a fact because she sees the bills come in. But anyway, we spend more time now than we ever have before in some prayer in the morning, even in the afternoon. Just spend another extra 30 minutes to 45 minutes. It has took my life and made it different. Because I'll promise you, I was in a stalemate there for a while. Didn't know what to do, didn't know where to go. I knew, not here, but what to do with what I was trying to preach and the things that I was trying to get to y'all. But now, and I'll have to say that prayer life book has helped me do that. You say, well, you should have got it in the message. Oh, garbage. Come on. I know the message is it, but you're going to tell me you live that message verbatim, every word in that book? Tell me you do. You're a liar. Do you understand everything is in that book? No. Brother Branham didn't understand either. Or he wouldn't have read those books that he read. I mean, when he studied the church ages, that man went way back. I bet he spent days in the library. Because remember, every research that he had was in a book. When he researched Daniel 70 weeks, it was in a book. It was in a book somewhere, archived somewhere in the library, and he had to bring all that. But you know what God did? God used him and put it all together so that you and I don't have to go dig for it. So we don't have to go dig for it and spend 3 hours. We just have to look at what God's given us already and believe it. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening you give us. Lord, may we say something, Lord, that'll spark something in someone's life, Lord. It'll change, Father. We all need a change because we're coming to the body change. And that's going to be a supernatural change. But, Lord, it must start now. It must start inside each and every one of us, Lord. Lord, we're the holy of holies. We're the thing that you always wanted. You don't want to live in a house. You don't want to live in an ark. You want to live in your people. Well, you've got that now, Father, in a degree, Lord, that's never been before. That we can come boldly to the throne of grace, Lord, because we have you in our soul. We have the very DNA of God in our life. And Father, I pray that we'll use it more and more. That we'll talk to you more. And Lord, as the brother said, that we would challenge you, Lord, in your word. Say, Lord, you said this is what you're going to do. And then we just sit there and hold on to it and have patience that you'll do what you said you'd do. You can't change your word, Lord. You can't go back on it. So let's just start reading it that way that, Lord, you said you could do it. You said you were going to do it. Now, Lord, I ask you, in the simple name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would take all of our bodies and turn them in the right direction. Lord, we need you more than anything in the world. But I can't be with this people every moment of the day. They can't be with each other every moment of the day. We come together to bring our little licks of fire to get warmed up. And as the prophet said, to get the scales pulled off of our eyes so that we can see you, Father, not a preacher and not a church, but see you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that now that Holy of Holies has been, the curtain was rent way long time ago, Father. You were rent at Calvary, but you were rent because you wanted to come back inside of us. And Lord, I pray that if someone doesn't know you, Lord, as this Savior, Lord, as it may be just in sanctification or just trying to get their life straightened up, Father, I pray that you'd come and, Lord, in the sweetness of the night, and you'll fill their soul with the Spirit of God. And Lord, give us of your Spirit more every day. Forgive us of our faults and failures, the things that we do that's wrong, Lord. I pray that you'd sanctify us for this journey, Lord. You told us you would. Now, Lord, I pray that you'll do that, Father. Bring our children home. Bring our loved ones home. Lord, fill this church up, Father, with the wayward and the ones that are, Lord, floundering around in the world that don't know up from down and right from left. And the whole world's just got, the devil's got everybody shook up all over the world. Father, but you're the rock of ages. You're the rock of Gibraltar that's been there for billions of years and never moved. Well, Father, you've been here for eternity and you've never moved. Father, I pray that we look to you, the author and finisher of our faith, to help us in the things that we're doing, Father. Be with us, Lord, as we continue on, Lord, the week, and be with us on service on Sunday, that you'll give us strength to do the things we need to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.
Once like a bird.